First, in the last few years, you may have noticed the rise and fall of the pumpkin spice latte, frozen yogurt, even cupcakes. They're foods that seem to start off trendy, but after a period of time, they become the target of eye rolls and mockery. Our next guest says that the food trends that are most likely to be made fun of are the ones associated with women. In an article for Taste magazine called Women Aren't Ruining Food, she argues that food trends associated with women are looked down on, but the ones associated with men, things like craft beer or protein shakes, get taken more seriously. Jaya Saxena is a writer, editor, and author based in New York. She joins us now. Jaya, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, how do people accuse women of ruining different kinds of food and beverages?
I mean, I think it happens the same way that people accuse women of ruining anything. You know, people accuse women of ruining Ghostbusters. It's just that we tend to have this aversion to women having an enthusiasm for anything. And so I think that, right, when you have something that becomes very trendy, like cupcakes or like rosé, and people see that it's a majority women who are enjoying these things, that tends to rankle them a little more than if there is some overarching trend, but men were the ones enjoying it.
Who is getting rankled here? Because I imagine women are perfectly fine with a food
right.
being associated with women. So I guess it's us, the guys, who see, oh, now this is a women food. I can't touch that. Is that basically what's happening?
Yeah, I think it happens where either, it's easy for men to belittle something, or men feel the need to maybe reclaim something. I think one of the standard ones in rosé that you see is a lot of men being like, actually, rosé is a very complex and interesting drink, and it's not just for sorority girls. And trying to, assuming that their enjoyment of something adds legitimacy to it. When really enjoying whatever food you want was perfectly legitimate already, no matter who you were.
Yeah, why would we gender food in the first place?
I think like I was saying before, we gender things all the time in ways that we don't even know. I mean, already the color pink is assumed for girls and the color blue is assumed for boys. And if you take a second to think about that, it's pretty absurd that we have decided that certain colors are for certain genders. And so that happens every place in our life, and food is certainly no different.
And it's interesting that it moves over time where, like you said, with rosé or something like that, people see it as a women's thing for a while, and then men start to actively, colonize it, kind of, to reclaim it in its masculine, manly ways?
A little bit. I think that there's a certain aspect, because, right, something like rosé, obviously, it's for anyone to enjoy. But I think that there's a lot of understanding in our culture that if a woman likes something and it's considered a woman's item, and then a man starts liking it, he needs to justify that in some way. Because, really, we do not like men who aspire to act like women. We assume that women should aspire to act like men, and we don't think it should be the other way around. So if a man is going to like rosé or some other food item or any item that has been associated with women, he needs to justify it in a certain way. And so I think that men, when they find themselves enjoying something like rosé, which they absolutely should, it's great, they have to do all of this mental gymnastics to justify it by saying, well, it's not because I'm a woman or I'm acting like a woman. It's really because it's much more complicated and interesting and more for men than you really thought.
And you write that this plays into marketing. In order to sell, I'll put it in quotes, women's foods to men, they have to market it in a manly way.
Yeah. One of the most interesting ones I've seen recently is there are a couple different yogurt brands that are starting to market yogurt as sort of a powerlifting, protein-filled workout food. That eating a cup of yogurt for breakfast, you're getting your protein fill, you're going to build muscle this way. The packaging is black and red instead of sort of the pastels that are usually used in yogurt. And again, it's like there's nothing about yogurt that is for any gender over another. We just have wrapped ourselves into some ridiculous circles in the way that I think gender just does this to people.
Did you use the word brogurt in your piece? That's in my head, and I'm not clever enough to have thought of it myself.
It was just such a silly one to see because I really felt like yogurt. I really thought that yogurt was neutral. I really did not realize that this was what was happening in the yogurt world until I took a closer look. And I was just like, ah, darn, yogurt too, huh?
We're talking to Jaya Saxena. She's a writer. She wrote a piece on how women are often seen as ruining different kinds of foods for men, making them seem unmasculine. And Jaya, is this ironic since, I mean, at least according to numbers I've seen, and I think you cite, women do a lot of the food purchasing. And, you know, women historically are viewed as the ones who are the food makers, processors, cookers, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. I think that a huge part of also the way we look at food, it's not just who gets to eat what, but right, who's making it, who's providing it. And it's this interesting thing where we sort of expect women to be homemakers in a certain sense, to be the ones who are conscious of food and health. But we also criticize women a lot for what they eat. We criticize women for eating too much. We criticize women for eating in ways that we view as unhealthy. We very much police women's bodies and expect them to be skinny and fit. And this certainly touches men, too. But traditionally, I think that we've turned most of this attention to women. So we're already really, really scrutinizing whatever women decide to put in their bodies. And this is just one more way that we do that, either criticizing women for getting excited about a certain type of food, criticizing women for perhaps taking a food away from men in ways that, you know, right, that's not actually what's going on. But, you know, if women start liking certain types of beer, then people get very territorial about it. I mean, yeah, there are a lot of ways in which we tend to judge women around food, and this is just one more aspect of that.
And let's talk about food and drink fussiness. I think of the scene in When Harry Met Sally with the, you know, the really precise delineation of what has to be on Meg Ryan's sandwich, or
yeah,
the stock character, the woman at the coffee shop ordering the half-calf, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that gets made fun of. A guy being really particular about the percentage of hops in a craft beer, does that get the same kind of judgment?
Right. We do not call men fussy. I feel like that is one of those very gendered words in terms of criticisms. Or when we lobby it as a man, it's a way of accusing him of acting like a woman. But right, as I wrote in the piece for Taste Magazine, that a woman can have certain tastes, can want to make, you know, a beautiful smoothie bowl, can be very precise about ordering her salad with dressing on the side with all sorts of stuff in it, and we're saying, oh, you know, just relax. Why don't you just order a steak or something? And men can come up with these elaborate home brewing projects, curing meats in their closet, you know, being very precise about the exact levels of protein to fat they eat every day when they go work out to make sure their gains are enough. And no one is calling them fussy in the same way. Or if they're fussy, well, it's necessary. You know, that's because they're really smart and they're doing this interesting thing.
And there's a new trend you point out. So men don't diet, they biohack.
They biohack. Yeah, that is a term I believe I first heard in conjunction with Soylent, which is essentially a meal replacement shake. The same way that, you know, Slim Fast or Muscle Milk or any of these things have been meal replacement shakes that have existed for a very long time. But instead, they're saying, well, it's science that you're getting all of your nutrients in this one beverage and you don't need anything else, and we're hacking our bodies. Versus women drinking a Slim Fast is considered dieting. But really, the promises of both those products are very similar. And in both ways, you're accomplishing the same thing. I think biohacking, another example, is that there are a bunch of men who have been talking about fasting, that they'll fast on and off days, and that this is somehow, you know, really good for their productivity and doing all these great things for their body. And I'm like, you're just not eating. That's dieting. That's what women have been told to do forever.
And Jaya, as we wrap up, I think I'm ahead of the curve in some ways because I drink so-called manly drinks. I'll happily drink a pink drink with an umbrella without shame. I love cupcakes. I mean, should we all just eat what we want to eat within, you know, the limits of our health?
Right. I think that, you know, obviously if you are a man who only likes whiskey and beer, that's totally fine. And if you're a woman who only drinks pink drinks, that's also totally fine. You're allowed to like what you like. I just think it's a matter of taking a moment to question maybe why you like that. Is it because you genuinely like the taste, or is there something that has been keeping you from trying other things? And, you know, no matter where you land, that's okay.
Jaya, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jaya Saxena is a writer, editor, and author based in New York. She joined us to talk about her article, Women Aren't Ruining Food.